like you to turn with me to at least two passages in the New Testament. Gospel of John, this is a very well-known scripture, but I want to look a bit further into it. John 3:14. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God has not sent his Son into the world that he may judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. He that believes on him is not judged, but he that believes not has been already judged, because he's not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men have loved darkness rather than light, for their works were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, that his works may not be shown as they are. But he that practices the truth comes to the light, that his works may be manifested, they have been wrought in God. And finally, at the end of the chapter, verse 35, the Father loves the Son, and has given all things to be in his hand. He that believes on the Son has life eternal, and he that is not subject to the Son of God, to the Son, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Actually, I think these verses will suffice. I want to speak to you in the gospel tonight of God's love. But also, I need to speak to you of God's judgment. I delight to speak to you of the love of God because of what God has done. We read this afternoon of the preparation of God in parable as to the wedding feast. God has made great preparation for his Son to be honoured. And I would desire that in reading these scriptures, we may have a sense of the love of God that it was that sent his only begotten Son into this world. God so loved the world. Now that's a verse of scripture familiar to every one of us, young to old, that God so loved the world. Think of that. Think of God loving a world full of sinners like you and me. How could God do it? Well, God tells us that he has so loved the world. And he loved the world so much that he didn't spare his Son. We read this afternoon about the servants that he sent to collect the fruit from the vineyard, and they ill-treated and slew him. And when he sent his Son, the owner of the vineyard, they said, come, this is the heir, come, let us kill him. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, which he made with his hands. He drew near to men in manhood's form. How wonderful is that? How wonderful is the love of God expressed in the Lord Jesus coming here into this world amongst men, women and children. No one was too lowly for the Son of God to approach. He took little children in his arms and blessed them. The disciples tried to stop it, but he said, suffer the little children to come to me. The Lord Jesus, when here, was approachable to all. All who came to him with a need were blessed, and their need was met. Now, today, it's the same thought. The Lord Jesus has suffered and died. God sent his Son into this world, and what happened? Wicked hands crucified him. Persons, Jew and Gentile, are responsible for the death of Christ. The one, the Lord of life and glory, the one here who came here in love and drew so near to men and women and children that that blessed man was slain, was nailed to a tree. That was the opinion of men of the value and worth of Jesus. He suffered and died. We can read about it in the four Gospels. You can read about it yourself. I want to speak of the love of God that lay behind this. Why should God love the world? We read in Genesis that sin came in, disobedience, and it came in pretty quick, and man hid himself from God. Man having disobeyed, Adam and Eve having disobeyed, hid themselves. And that's exactly the effect that sin has on you and me. I know it, and if you're honest, you'll know it. Soon as you do something wrong or think a wrong thought, it alienates you, it separates you from God. But God has provided a way back. That's the wonder of the gospel message, that God has not been defeated by sin, that rather his love has been made known in sending his son here, a sacrifice for sin. The old economy, we see the sacrifices that were brought to the altar, and they were made. Why was it? It was because largely of sin and distance having come in. And God provided in type or picture a way back. But now in the fullness of time, God sent his son. The Lord Jesus Christ has been here, an offering for sin. He suffered and died. He hung on a cross of wood for you and for me. His blood was shed. I cannot tell you of the sufferings that the Lord Jesus went through, either in his spirit or in his body. But we know by faith, I know by faith it was for me. And I would like you to be able to say it was for me too. That's the love of God. God so loved the world, he spared not his son. God has given everything. He's prepared everything for your blessing and for mine. And it really means that you need to accept it. You need to turn to God. To turn to God in repentance. The Apostle Paul preached repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus. That are the two things needed from your side to come into the gain and blessing that God offers you from his side. There's no other way. There's no other way of blessing. Man's religion, men's religions, all depend on doing or not doing something to try and deserve the favour of the God they've created. Well, God has nothing like that in mind. He would have you put your faith and trust in Jesus and see that he alone can forgive your sins. Son of man on earth has power to forgive sins. The Lord said it himself. And if he said it himself, he meant it. The Lord Jesus always means what he says. So here we have the question of believing in order that you may not perish. There is a danger, therefore, of perishing. Perishing means to die and not to come into blessing. Now, every one of us in this room need not perish. You need not go away and perish. You need not go away and elect yourself out of the blessing and love that God would offer you. Everyone who believes on him may not perish but have life eternal. God would give you something that you haven't already got. You've got natural life. I've got natural life. But eternal life is not natural life. It's what God gives. God gives life eternal. And it's in Jesus. It can be no other. It's not something that is separate. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus. As you put your faith and trust in him, you own him as your Saviour, you come into the gain and blessing of eternal life. And that's what God would have. And it's something that starts in you when God gives it to you, and it goes through your life with you and goes into eternity, because eternal life is not natural life. When we die, our natural life ceases. Eternal life goes on into eternity because it is of God. Work of God in your soul is eternal, and it goes into eternity. Your body will perish. If you die, your body ends and perishes, goes into corruption. but your spirit goes into eternity. Well, these are wonderful and great matters, and they're matters that you need to consider. God has not sent his Son into the world that he may judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. There is the grace of God. God didn't send Christ here to judge the world. In his first coming, he came in grace. He came in grace. He didn't come in judgment. However, for those who do not believe, what is it? He that believes on him is not judged. But he that believes not has been already judged because he's not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I beg you not to come into judgment. You need not. There's absolutely no need that anybody should go home unsaved, not having put their faith and trust in Jesus, not having believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's only one name to believe in to be saved, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus. Men would have all sorts of names before them, and many of those religious leaders and so on and religions had names, but the only one that has power, the name of Jesus, the only one who can forgive sins, is in God alone, and it's through Jesus. So this is the only way of salvation. How dare I stand here and tell you of any other way you might be saved? There is none. So this is what is being said. And this is the judgment. Light is come into the world, and men have loved darkness rather than light. And it's the same today. Light has come into the world, the gospel light. The light of God has shone. The light of the gospel has shone in this world, and men have loved darkness rather than light. Even when the Lord was here, they preferred darkness rather than light. And we read about it this afternoon. They said, this is the heir, come let us kill him. That was loving darkness rather than light. And this is what happened. So men love darkness. Natural man does not love to come into the light of God. But you and I, as putting our faith and trust in Jesus, come into the full light and glory and shine of God's love. So, everyone that does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, that his works may not be shown as they are. That is so true of every man and person who does not put their faith and trust in Jesus. They don't come to the light, and they don't want God at all. The atheistic spirit of this world is growing, and men and women, you're working maybe, you're going to school, along amidst persons that have no knowledge of God, and some who come from homes where God is not wanted, not liked, and not acknowledged. Atheists. Agnostic, boils to the same. So this is a solemn verse. On the one hand, you've got the love of God shown, the giving of the Lord Jesus. And on the other hand, on the other side of the coin, if you like, if you reject, if you do not accept or believe, there's nothing but judgment. He that practices the truth comes to the light, that his works may be manifested, they be wrought in God. This is the believer in Jesus. The one who puts their faith and trust in Jesus comes to the light, comes into the wonderful light of and outshining of God. So when we look at the end of the chapter, the Father loves the Son and has given all things to be in his hand. That is the depth, the greatness of the love of God for his Son. He's given all things to be in his hand. Everything has been given to Jesus. He that believes on the Son has life eternal. Do you have life eternal? Do you believe on the Son of God? Have you put your faith and trust in him? If so, you have life eternal. And he that is not subject to the Son shall not see life. There's a consequence to rejecting. There's a consequence to not believing. He that is not subject to the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. How solemn it is! There may be people walking round our streets today on whom the wrath of God abides. And that day will declare. I haven't read Revelation 22, but that is the end, that how God will finally deal with sinful men. At the moment, it's a day of grace. At the moment, you may put your faith and trust in Jesus. At the moment, you may come into eternal life. It may be your portion. But that moment is not going on forever. We cannot guarantee another week. I can't guarantee another evening. I can't guarantee you another day. God is speaking in grace, but it's urgent. And it's urgent matter that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way to be happy. You know, I was at a burial this last week, and the brother gave a word about happiness. And he said, among other things, that to be happy is to be committed to the Lord and in love serving him and doing his will effectively. And that's the way of true joy and happiness. One of serving God, of doing his will and not your own. So there is a way in which you may know the love of God and that you may be truly happy. He said that some people think that happiness is sitting on a beach in the Caribbean, sipping a tequila sunrise or sundown, I'm not sure what. But he said that really isn't it. The true happiness is putting your faith and trust in Jesus and serving God in love and affection for him. That's the way to be happy in Jesus. We sing, don't we, sometimes, just trust and obey. To be happy in Jesus, simply trust and obey. Now, I'm asking you all to put your faith and trust in Jesus. There's no other way, and there's no other way to be happy either. You'll never be happy doing your own will. You'll never be happy in the world if you don't have Christ. If you have Christ, you won't want the world, but that's another story. I just speak simply as to the faith in our Lord Jesus. And I would urge you, all of you, young and old, if you haven't already done so, put your faith and trust in Jesus. He'll never let you down. I've let him down, and you may let him down. He'll never let you down. He loves beyond the brothers. He, a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. May it be your portion, as it's mine. And may we each one be strengthened to serve and to love in a way that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus. For his name's sake.